Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now, Tom Paxton wrote this song for the first Chrysler bailout in 1979. Looks like it's time to revive it.
I am changing my name to Chrysler. I am going down to Washington, D.C. I will tell some power broker what they did. Iacocca will be perfectly acceptable to me. I am changing my name to Chrysler. I am heading for that great receiving line. So when they hand a million grand out, I'll be standing with my hand out. Yes, sir, I'll get mine.
Arlo Guthrie's YouTube video version of Changing My Name to Chrysler, as they have their hands out again in Washington today. Maybe somebody will bail out you, and then you can go shopping this Christmas season. We put a link to the Arlo Guthrie version of Changing My Name to Chrysler, complete with a lot of charts and graphs and other video at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And the Ford Motor Company estimates there are more than 3,800 Ford dealerships around the country, and that New York would lose 5,000 to 10,000 jobs if Ford goes under and is not bailed out. Those are, of course, Ford's numbers, as reported by the Detroit Free Press. But let's begin today by talking about the local dealerships and their place in both the national auto industry and the local economy. Mark Scheinberg is here, president of the Greater New York Car Dealers Association. Mark, thanks for doing this. Welcome to WNYC. And really, I'm sorry it's under these circumstances.
Well, yeah, me too, Brian. It's been a very, very rough time for retailers and customers alike with this credit crunch that's going on and just everything that's happening with gas prices and everything else in the country right now.
How many dealerships of any kind are there around here? Do you have the number?
Well, I represent 650 franchise dealers, which is in the lower part of New York State, which is about 50% of all the dealers in the state of New York and approximately 65% of all the car sales in the state of New York.
With how many jobs altogether in our area, would you say?
Our dealers employ directly 32,000 people, and indirectly it impacts around 60,000 jobs.
I read the average dealership employs like 70 people. Could it be that many?
That's correct. This is a big market for vehicle sales. It's actually the largest in the country. You would think that L.A. is the number one, but the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut market is the largest in the country and contributes about, in the state of New York, about $3 billion worth of sales taxes to the economy, which is more than the deficit that the state is going through right now. So it's a quite significant part of New York businesses. It's actually 20% of all the retail business done in the state of New York.
And listeners, we have our phones open and a comments page for anything you always wanted to know about car dealerships but had no one to ask. Now you do. Mark Scheinberg, president of the Greater New York Car Dealers Association, as Congress today contemplates some kind of bridge loan or other kind of bailout for the automobile industry. People from the industry are testifying today before Congress. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for our representative of the Greater New York Car Dealers, or post a comment or a question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. What's your financial relationship with the companies? Are the dealers employed by the automakers? Do they own franchises like McDonald's stores? How does that work?
It is a franchise system, so the dealers are their own private businesses, and they have a contract with manufacturers where the manufacturers deliver cars, sell cars to the dealers, and the dealers service and sell them.
How bad is business?
Business is quite bad. I mean, the last couple of months have been dreadful. The sense is from consumers right now is that there is no financing available for when you buy a car. So the showroom traffic has dropped off tremendously. So there is this perception that if you go into a car deal, you can't even get a loan. So why even bother looking at it?
Is that not true?
It's much tighter than it's ever been before. The banks have really tightened up. The manufacturers' financial arms have done the same. A credit score of 700 is no longer a tier one. It could be a tier two and a tier three credit according to banks. So the banks are requiring more money down and a little bit better credit rating. But there are banks that are financing, and I think that's the word that, you know, needs to get out a little bit more. There's just a sense that everything is dried up, and that's not quite true.
What would happen to local dealerships if the big three automakers had to file for bankruptcy rather than being bailed out by the government?
Well, the ripple effect would be huge, not only just to the car dealers, but to all the services that the industry does here. I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people in the media, you know, in advertising, and they're telling me that their budgets have dried up. For the most part, the auto industry represents about 25-30% of the business that the media does, newspapers, TVs, radio stations. So they're feeling the pinch on this thing, along with lots of other industries. This, again, if this industry starts to fault, it's going to have an effect on many, many businesses, not just car dealers alone.
But before we take some calls, and boy, do people want to talk to you. Our lines are full. They all lit up in a few seconds after I put out the number. People in our area would still want as many cars. So why wouldn't you just switch over to be Toyota or Honda or Volkswagen dealers or whatever it is, but still stay open on those lots and move cars?
Well, we wouldn't expect that for every Chrysler, Ford, and GM dealer that would close, a Toyota or a Honda dealer dealership would open up. Yes, there would. Those other dealerships would probably do a little bit more business. But again, it's even an impact. We do the New York International Auto Show at the Javits Center. It's the largest auto show in North America that brings in $218 million worth of economic development each year. If General Motors and Ford decided that they had to close up their businesses, the Toyotas and Hondas wouldn't take up that additional kind of impact that we have at the show. And that would be true in the retail sector, too.
So why are you needed if the industry could sell as many cars to individuals who want to buy them, support your life, defend your existence? Why are you needed if the cars would still be available to people who wanted to buy them without as many dealerships?
Well, you've got to think about all the other parts of the business, the parts business that goes on, the drivers and all the other businesses, the advertising, all the different advertising agencies that are employed here in the New York area that wouldn't have all these companies that they're doing business. And listen, competition is good. I mean, that's what keeps the prices stable. And if you're going to lose three major manufacturers on it, means that there's a lot less competition that's out there. Ultimately, it's probably not good for consumers when all of a sudden, you know, a lot of the competition has disappeared.
Sean in Bradley Beach, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to talk about some of the intangible things that dealerships do for the local communities. I'm actually an electrician, so I have nothing to do with cars other than the fact that I use a van to go to work every day. And besides that, one of the things you didn't touch on just in this last couple of seconds is that when a dealership closes, if the dealership is a Chevy dealer and all of a sudden he wants to sell Toyotas, if there's a Toyota dealership within a couple of hundred yards or a couple of miles or 10 miles, he may not be allowed to by contract. He might not be allowed to sell Suzukis or Land Rovers or whatever because of the other dealerships are open. So that building would stay empty. It would not be used. The tax revenue sit down would loss. The intangible part, what about the little leagues they support, the cars that they give away to the poor when they get in clunkers and trade-ins? There's so many things that I can't even think of that the dealerships do that are you can't even put a price on for their local communities.
So the government should prop up the business, Sean?
They have to help because the car industry, if Chevy and Ford and Chrysler folded, a lot of people think, you know, Toyota would do better and Nissan would do better. A lot of them are manufactured here. And, yeah, and that's nice. But some of the parts suppliers that supply parts to Toyota and Nissan also supply parts to Chevy. Those companies could end up folding, too, and then all of a sudden you wouldn't have Toyotas and Nissans being made until they found a new supplier. It would be such a mess. And our leaders in Washington are sitting around, and they don't know the first thing except their chauffeured limousine. And that's the problem because they don't drive or live in the real community and go to buy cars and see what it's really, really like out there.
Sure.
And how we need American vehicles.
Sean, thank you very much. Karen in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I just wanted to say that in the business world, Bankruptcy is not a dirty word. It's about cleaning up the books, getting things right, and if they show they're viable, then Americans can help themselves. Then they can ask for aid, as long as they show they're viable. I did this to protect my own home from foreclosure. I showed it was viable. In fact, I got negotiations to the court to help in negotiating down the price.
You went into personal bankruptcy, Karen, and that helped you keep your home.
Chapter 11.
That helped you keep your home.
No, I sold my home. My home was on the market.
Okay.
I put it on the market just as all this started, which, by the way, started when the gas prices went up, the fuel prices went up. And I didn't know there was a problem in 2005 in the fall when I listed. By January 2006, I realized there was a problem.
Oh, yeah.
The realtor shared it. But nonetheless, Chapter 11 got me in the position that I could actually talk to the bank and its investors and get a negotiated
So why can't that work for the car dealer, the car companies is your question. By the way, Karen, for people who went through the kind of thing you did, we're going to have a call in later this hour, actually, for people who have their homes on the market right now and are having trouble finding buyers. One way to lower the price and get around the brokers, who, you know, it's another industry nobody really likes, except, you know, sometimes you get a really nice broker, like I did. But the industry nobody likes and everybody wants to get around. We're going to have a call in for people who are trying to do for sale by owner, and a way to lower your price by maybe $10,000 or $20,000, depending on the home. But my guest right now is Mark Scheinberg, president of the Greater New York Car Dealers Association. And Mark, to respond to Karen's question and her story, if GM or Ford or Chrysler went into Chapter 11 bankruptcy and restructured, would that put the car dealers out of business?
Well, I think Karen's question and point is a good point. I think the thing that's a little bit different on here for the manufacturers, when you take a look at General Motors, yes, has been having lots of problems for years. There's been a lot more competition. Their market share has shrunk tremendously, and they've invested in certain vehicles that consumers wanted, low gas mileage vehicles. But what's really, really hurt the industry, and not just, again, General Motors, because every manufacturer is seeing huge drops in sales. I mean, it's just not General Motors that's, you know, seeing a big loss in sales. It's Toyota and Honda. Right now, the market is really bad because of certain things that have happened that are beyond their control, such as the banking crunch. I mean, listen, that's a huge part of what started this whole thing, is capital started to dry up and consumers weren't able to get the loans that they were that they used to get. Plus, the gas prices went through the roof. Now, you know, we can say that everybody should have seen this. I've been a big critic of the manufacturers for years about not making better fuel-efficient vehicles, and the industry has been moving to that. General Motors and Ford probably a lot slower than some of the other manufacturers, but you've had this perfect storm where it's not just a, you know, a company that's been misrun, mismanaged. It's been this whole set of dynamics that have come into place where the whole financial market first collapsed. That's what collapsed first as the prices were rising in gas, and that's exacerbated the situation. So, you know, it's not, again, a company that says, oh, they've just done a bad job, so we need to bail them out. This is an industry that employs over 11 million people throughout the country. Again, the ripple effect on the economy, possibly going into a depression, is real and not something that's just in the classroom. This could actually happen.
And there are people, certainly in the professional, you know, media commentariat, who disagree on this point. Mark Shields on the PBS NewsHour on Friday nights, he said exactly that. He said if we don't bail out Detroit, these three companies, the U.S. economy may well go from recession into depression. He used the D word. On the other hand, you had Tom Friedman on Meet the Press on Sunday, and you were talking about the gasoline prices. Tom Friedman said this.
What was Detroit's plan 2 years ago when they confronted this problem? It was to subsidize gasoline at $1.99 a gallon if you bought a Hummer or a Suburban or a big truck. That was their idea of innovation.
You want to react to that?
Well, I saw the interview, and I think he's right. I think they invested when, you know, again, personally, and when I saw the Hummer coming out and doing what they're doing, I thought that, you know, that it only had a very short shelf life of vehicle. I was, you know, I thought it didn't make a lot of sense, but consumers wanted it, and consumers bought it. And they invested, I think, too much into that. I think Toyota did a great job by investing in hybrids and really becoming the leader on those things, and that strengthened them. But even Toyota today, it's much better positioned than General Motors. The market share has just dropped, you know, tremendously, and they have had huge losses. So again, this is not just an industry, you know, one manufacturer that has made some mistakes on their product line, possibly, but you've got a situation where the financial community is not loaning any money. There's no money going through the system. Customers are not even in showrooms looking at buying cars, even when they need them.
Danny in Englewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Danny.
Hi. You know, I just want to say that I'd be much more sympathetic to this whole plight of the auto industry if my television wasn't constantly, you know, covered in car commercials that convincing me to throw away something that works to buy something new, and if walking into an auto dealership was not the most unpleasant experience of my entire life. That's just my feeling. So I have absolutely no sympathy.
Why do car dealers have such a bad reputation, Mark Scheinberg? You heard that caller, and Danny, thank you. Everyone makes used car dealer jokes, and new car dealers are only a little better. Why do people see your members that way?
Well, I think it's one of those things that they hate to sort of blame this on sort of a stereotype in the media pushing it, but in survey after survey, most people, about 90% or over 90% of the people who go out and buy a car, really like the experience of buying a car, enjoy their new cars. It's a reason why, you know, millions of people do buy cars. It's a reason why over a million people come to the New York International Auto Show and other auto shows around the country every year. They love their vehicles. Yes, is there, you know, the process of buying a car is a negotiation process. And negotiations are quite different than going into a department store and seeing a shirt on the rack and seeing a price, and that's the price. It's a negotiation. So at the end of the day, you know, people who are better at being able to understand the process and can be out ahead of it will actually have a better experience. So it is the consumer, and some of the things that we do all the time is put out consumer brochures on how to buy a car and how to know what your needs are. And usually at that point, consumers really do have a good experience buying a car.
Here's a question for you from our webpage. It says, can you explain the relationships individual dealers have with the automakers? I thought I heard that there are contracts that are hard to get out of, a sticking point that might be hurting rather than helping the situation.
It's a tough relationship. I mean, somebody who's a Chevrolet dealer, for example, has a franchise agreement with them. They cannot turn in that franchise necessarily and decide to open up a Ford dealership because of two things. One is that the manufacturer may have some agreement with the dealer saying that property will be used as a GM site and only a GM site. And then even if they can get out of it, Ford is not going to, as one of the callers had mentioned, you just can't go, there's a Ford dealer down the block, you can't just open up a Ford dealer. It's unlike most any other retail business that's out there. If you're a candy store, you know, and you want to open up, there's a spot that opens up on Main Street, you can do that, and you don't have to worry about it. But in a franchise agreement, your hands are tied tremendously. And one last point, the problem for GM dealers is that they're dependent on that manufacturer to build and produce cars that consumers want. If they don't, and they don't price it right, consumers don't buy. They go down to the Toyota or the Honda store to buy their vehicles.
More comments from our website. Here's a thought. Why doesn't ExxonMobil bail out the auto industry? Someone writes. Someone else, retain workers, let the market take care of the old big... Oh, retrain workers, let the market take care of the old big three, look for 21st century technology. Someone else, having seen my share of American car ads, bailing out the auto industry so that the ads can continue to be made is a bad, bad argument. And someone else, please ask your guest what concessions dealers are willing to make to help out this situation. Auto dealers have been given the upper hand over manufacturers through several state and federal laws. From manufacturing to selling, the whole process has been inefficiently run. Are there concessions that dealers are willing to make? Any sacrifices from your members to help out this situation?
Well, the dealers are part of the victims on this themselves. Again, they're just, you know, they're the retail that depends on the banks to continue to have the flow of money, the manufacturers to produce the cars. We are one of the bellwethers. When all of a sudden the economy drops off, you know, it's the auto industry that get hurt much. These are small businesses. As you had mentioned, their average employment is about 70 people, and they are dealing in some of the most sophisticated products that are sold with probably one of the most heavily regulated industries that's out there. So it's a very, very difficult, and it's a very, very low profitable business. Even though they're selling cars that can be $25,000, the profitability on these dealerships are very, very small. So when there's a downturn,
what's the average dealer's profit on a $20,000 car?
About 1.1% of the total price of the vehicle.
What would happen to people's current warranties if the parent companies fold?
If they did, then the warranties would be worthless.
And last question, are there features of a bailout bill that you specifically want to see included to help dealerships in particular?
We want to see the financing starting to free up for consumers. I mean, the affordability of a car right now is the lowest it's been in 25 years. That means, on an average, to buy a car takes about 23 weeks of somebody's salary to pay it off. So the price of cars are very, very reasonable compared to the salaries and inflationary rates. It's sort of an amazing thing. You probably don't see that in any other industry to have that kind of an affordability over so many years. But you got to free up cash. You got to free up financing for consumers, because consumers, the way that they buy cars, whether they lease it or finance it, it's what's holding them back of going into the stores. And again, with, you know, millions and millions of consumers that are out there buying cars and, you know, wanting cars, whether it's for their businesses, necessities, or for pleasure, without the freeing up of capital, both the consumer and the retail dealer and the manufacturers, and all these jobs are at jeopardy.
Listeners, you can keep posting to our webpage on this. Should we bail out the auto industry, and anything else you want to say about car dealerships? Mark Scheinberg, president of the Greater New York Car Dealers Association, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And hit it, Tom.
I am changing my name to Fannie Mae. I am changing it to AIG. On this bailout, I am betting just a piece of what they're getting would be perfectly acceptable to me. I am changing my name to Freddie Mac. I am leaving for that great receiving line. I'll be waiting when they hand out 700 million grand out. That's when I'll get mine.
Tom Paxton updating his 1979 song for today. And when we continue in a minute, we'll talk about Mayor Bloomberg battling the federal government trying to green the taxi fleet. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and do you want Hillary Clinton for Secretary of State? We have a question page for this on our website this morning. 39 comments in already, and I only mentioned it once before. We'll talk about it in more depth tomorrow. We'll touch on it later with Yaksha Fischer, the former foreign minister of Germany, who will be here. But do you want Hillary Clinton for Secretary of State? Tell us at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Now, before we go on to Mayor Bloomberg versus the federal government on greening the taxi fleet, just a little addendum to the car dealership segment, because the president of the UAW chapter in Hicksville on Long Island is calling in. And let's take that call. Brian in Hicksville, you're on WNYC. Thank you very much for calling in.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tell us exactly what you do.
My responsibility to my membership is, the president of their local 259 of the United Automobile Workers. We were founded in 1937, and my rank and file are the hardworking people that work in automotive dealerships in the Long Island region, and also in the five boroughs and parts of Connecticut.
So your members, your UAW members, are not automakers. They work at the dealerships,
yeah,
like represented by the guy we had on a minute ago.
Very true.
And I assume you basically, this is a case where union and management are on the same page. You want the federal help, right?
It's our problem, and we need to fix it together. And we need our elected leaders down in D.C. to put America first and step up to the plate and save this industry.
What does your average member make at these car dealerships?
It varies. I mean, I must let you know that we don't only represent members in the domestic, in other words, the big three. We have members that work for BMW, Audi, Lexus, Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Hyundai, Kia. We represent workers. We don't represent the product.
But when people argue to let the big three go, because there are plenty of cars being produced in the United States by some of those other companies you mentioned, just not with union contracts, you're saying you do have union contracts. Aren't the Toyota plants, for example, in the United States not unionized?
That's true. That's true. They have a non-union operation in Kentucky and Indiana. I know they have a plant in Texas. In this situation that we're in, you know, the root of this problem really has to do with the credit and the economic crisis that hit this country in September. Which has altered the whole situation for the American auto industry.
But the critics say that the auto industry situation includes bad decisions in terms of what cars to produce and even kind of shoved down our throats in terms of, you know, the big cars over and over again. And they say too many benefits and too high pay for the union and too many work rules.
Well, the bottom line is the critics that have surfaced on this issue, the talking heads and the pundits, they've always been critical of organized labor, and they've always had a problem with the big three. You know, what is more American than the American auto industry? This industry has created the middle class. And that middle class is spread throughout the entire country. It's not just regional. The overwhelming amount of people that work in this industry, it's close to 3 million. 3 million jobs, 3 million families, 3 million livelihoods, people that pay their taxes.
Right, but everybody
throughout the whole United States are in flux here.
Absolutely right.
And the responsibility of our elected leaders down in Washington is to put our country first and do the right thing for our manufacturing.
And what's the UAW's role in this? Because you even have liberal economists like Robert Reich posting on his website the other day that with the federal bailout, union contracts are going to have to be renegotiated so that some of your members get lower pay and lower benefits.
I can't speak for what happens on the international level with the big three because I'm not party to those collective bargaining agreements. But my position is this. It's not the collective bargaining agreements. It's not the union. And it's right now with this crisis front and center, really doesn't have to do anything with management of the big three. It all has to do with consumer confidence at the lowest recorded levels in history, along with no available credit for consumers that wish to purchase cars. You need a 700 score or better just to be considered to get a lease or a loan to purchase an automobile. That's
right.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
And further, many businesses, small and big, they float their finances on credit. Many of my dealerships that I have great relationships with, many very good management teams are expressing to me their problems in getting credit in order to finance their floor plans and et cetera.
I got to go in a minute, but are the floor salesmen UAW members?
No, they're not. But we feel for them. I mean, of course, I advocate for my membership, right? But I also advocate for the non-union employees that work in these dealerships. We're going to be hit hard if our government does not step up to the plate and put our country first. And, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, the greater good of this country where we all live in. It's not a Long Island problem.
Yeah.
It's not a New York State problem. It's a nationwide problem.
Brian,
that's why our national leaders need to step up now, not wait till January.
Give a shout-out one more time to your members. What's your local?
Local 259 of the United Auto Workers.
Based in?
We're based in Hicksville. We've been around since 1937, and we're proud to be part of this wonderful industry.
Brian, good luck to you and your members. We'll stay in touch as this crisis unfolds, okay?
Thank you.